Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the DiaSorin third quarter 2008 results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Carlo Rosa, CEO of DiaSorin. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and welcome to the Q3 conference call. I'm Carlo Rosa, I'm the CEO of the company, and I will quickly make a few comments to the quarter three results, and then Andrea Fernandi, the Chief Financial Officer, is going to drive you in detail through the presentations and the financial highlights. First, let me make a comment. This is the first quarter where we consolidate the results of Biotrin. As you remember, Biotrin is the Irish company that we acquired in July and is a worldwide leader in the diagnosis of parvovirus. Now, if you look at, I believe that the general comment, as you have seen from the numbers, this has been another very strong quarter for the DiaSorin Group. From a revenue perspective, revenue grew by 22%, despite still a negative exchange rate effect, which is an impact of 3.5 percentage points. We need, although, to take in consideration that, as I said before, this is the first quarter where Biotrin is included. In the 22% growth, there is an effect of sales of Biotrin products, which is equivalent of 4.5% growth. Looking at different geographies, the growth has been steady throughout the world. I think it's important to mention North America, where sales are now up 49.6% at constant exchange rates vis-à-vis previous years. Also in the U.S., we have an effect of Biotrin. If you remember, Biotrin has 50% of its turnover realized in the U.S. market. The Biotrin contribution to the 49% is equivalent to 8.7 percentage points. Again, the growth in the U.S. is driven mainly by vitamin D. The usage and adoption of vitamin D by the medical community in the U.S. continues to be extremely strong and is giving a considerable growth effect to our sales in the U.S. When it comes to the other geographies, you will see high double-digit growth in Italy and the rest of Europe, and I would say spectacular results in the rest of the world. Again, Andrea is going to drive you through the details of the sales. When it comes to the Liaison install base, as stated before, we continue with what we said we were going to do with an installation of a quarter around 100 units. In this quarter, we had 110 Liaison installs, with the install base going from 2,280 to almost 2,400. Again, this is throughout all the different geographies, showing that the Liaison instrument continues to be very appealing, especially considering the breadth of menu and the availability of the specialty products that distinguish our product offering from our competitors. When it comes to margin, we continue to see an improvement of the operating margin, which is driven by the usual effects that we have seen in the previous quarters, and mainly the product mix improvement, the leverage of the Liaison install base and the fixed cost base, and in this case, the Biotrin contribution. Biotrin being a pure specialist drives very high end-user prices, and therefore the contribution to the gross margin is very positive. Finally, net earnings improved by almost 33% vis-à-vis quarter three 2007. Andrea is going to comment on the fact that in this quarter, due to the rapid reevaluation of the dollar vis-à-vis the euro, we have suffered from a non-cash unrealized foreign exchange losses. Andrea?
Thank you, Carlo. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Carlo has taken you through slide number one and the key highlights of the quarter. I will move quickly to the P&L. If you move to slide number two, you can find a representation of quarter three results of 2008 compared with a similar quarter of 2007. As Carlo mentioned, the net revenues have improved by 22%. We have recorded revenues just shy of $60 million at the end of in the third quarter of 2008 versus $49 million in quarter three 2007. The gross profit has improved more, has increased more than proportionally vis-a-vis previous year, and the gross margin has moved from about 63% last year to 56.5%. And we will come back to the drivers of the improvement, although I need to anticipate that quarter three in 2007 was a quarter where the margin had suffered vis-a-vis the average of the year. Operating expenses had grown from $19.6 million in 2007 to $21.9 million. There is clearly a contribution to the growth of operational expenses coming from the structure of the acquired business Biosyn, which accounts for just above $1 million. So the underlying growth of expenses is just above 5% versus previous year, and this reflects also into a ratio to the turnover, which is decreasing by more than 3 percentage points, moving from about 40% last year to 36.6% this year. There is a positive item in the line other operating income and expenses. This is mainly driven by the exceptional items related to the acquisition of Biosyn, which were expensed through P&L before completion of the acquisition, therefore in quarter two, and had now been reversed into the P&L as they had been capitalized on the holding of Biosyn. All in all, in terms of operating indicators, I would comment on EBIT and EBITDA, excluding the items of a non-recurring nature, which are moving opposite in this quarter versus the previous year. Just as a reminder, in quarter three 2007, we had booked to P&L item related to the IPO for about $1.9 million. So if you look at the line EBIT excluding non-recurring item, EBIT has grown by 52.3%, moving up 6 percentage points as a percentage of turnover versus previous year. And EBITDA excluding the item of a non-recurring nature has grown by almost 41%, moving up almost 5 percentage points versus previous year. Last but not least, in terms of net results, as Carlo mentioned, the net results of the quarter are up almost 33%, although they do not reflect entirely the strong performance at operating level due to the high charge in financial costs. In the quarter, we have recorded $7.1 million of net financial expenses, out of which 5.8, as Carlo already mentioned, are of a non-cash nature, and I will comment further during the presentation. If we move to the analysis of the lines of the profit and loss on slide number three, you find the revenue breakdown by technology. As we have witnessed in the previous quarters, chemiluminescent sales continue to represent the growth of the group. Liaison sales are up almost 37% in quarter 3/08 versus quarter 3 previous year. In the quarter, we have also recorded good ELISA sales, thanks to two factors. One is the provision of a tender in Brazil with the Brazilian Ministry of Health, and the second one is the contribution coming from Biosyn portfolio. As you know, Biosyn is today entirely based on ELISA plates. So all in all, the improvement in the portfolio of products that we sell has continued. In the quarter, Liaison sales accounted for 57.1% of the total turnover, coming up 6 percentage points versus the quarter of the previous year. If we now look at the geographical contribution, as Carlo already mentioned, that North America has contributed for 37%, or it has grown 37% versus previous quarter. At comparable exchange rate, clearly this is translates into almost 50% growth, with a contribution coming from biofuel close to 9%. In the other geographies, in Europe, the business has grown versus the similar quarter of previous year by 14.5%, with very strong performances in Italy, plus 16.4%, in France, plus 17%, in the Nordic region, almost 70% growth versus previous year, and in Belgium, plus 14%. The rest of the world has contributed also more than proportionally to the growth of the group. 27% is the growth versus quarter three of 2007, with very strong performance in the two most recent initiatives like Israel and Mexico. Israel had grown close to 43% versus Q3 07. Mexico, at comparable exchange rate, had grown more than 70% in versus previous year. In Brazil, 32%, also boosted by this time a favorable exchange rate effect. In fact, at comparable effects, the growth in Brazil would have been 26%. And a strong contribution came also from our third-party distributors, particularly as far as Australia is concerned. The distributor grew 16.6% versus previous year. If we now look at the profitability, as we commented before, the gross margins have grown by 29.4%, moving up almost 4 percentage points versus previous year. EBITDA on a restated basis almost 41%, up 5 percentage points, and EBIT 52%, 6 percentage points up versus quarter 3 2007. The reason for the improvement are basically summarized at the bottom of slide number 5. There is a continuous improvement in the technology mix as we continuously shift sales from ELISA and RIA technology into chemiluminescence. This clearly provides higher margins. We continue to leverage on the install base, and therefore the depreciation rate versus the turnover decreases continuously year on year. As we have seen in the summary of the P&L, we continue leveraging our fixed cost base as operating expenses have decreased by almost 3 percentage points as a ratio to turnover. And last but not least, we have a significant contribution coming out from the Biotrim business. Now, if we now move on to the last element of the P&L that I would like to comment, which is the net result and the effect of the exchange rate differences on the quarter three. As I stated before, the net results of the quarter are up 33%, although if you compare this performance with EBITDA and EBIT growth, they do not reflect entirely the performance at operational level. Now, as we said, this is due to the net financial cost of 7.3 million, out of which 5.8 million are non-cash items, which relate to the valuation of the group indebtedness in US dollar, following the revaluation of the currency between the beginning and the end of quarter three. Just as a reminder, the US dollar at the beginning of quarter three was worth 1.56 US dollar were worth 1 euro. At the end of the quarter, the exchange rate was about 140. Now, we carry about 56 million of US dollar in debt, which has been underwritten at the beginning of July, mainly to finance the Biotrim acquisition. And the choice of the currency is a conscious decision that the group takes as a consequence of our forex policy. Now, I would like to spend a couple of minutes just describing the forex policy and that we follow and the reason why we contract debt in a foreign currency. If you turn to slide number 7, you will see a few key items. First of all, because of the strong business expansion in the U.S. market, the group is generating a very significant amount of free cash flow in US dollar. On average, we generate about $1.5 million per month. We hedge the excess cash generated in this currency by financing group activities in the same currency, thus matching in the course of time inflows and outflows, or in other words, not taking any position versus the trends in the currencies. However, given that we carry the vast majority of our debt in US dollar, strong and sudden fluctuations of the currency generate significant exchange rate difference. However, the group will never realize cash losses since the outflow in US dollar will be financed through an inflow in the same currency. But accounting principles demand to record these differences, whether they are negative or positive, to profit and loss, even if they are not realized. If you look at the bottom of slide 7, there is a representation of the generation of cash flows in the course of time, and if you turn to slide 8, you can compare with the way we hedge the excess cash versus the liabilities in the same currency. So we use the excess cash generated basically to repay the debt that we carry to finance our own operations. Now, having said this, I have also to add that in absence of a US dollar fluctuation between the end of quarter two and the end of quarter three, our net profit would have fully reflected the improvement of at operating margins level. Just as a reference, you should reckon that in absence of the fluctuation of the dollar, the net earnings would have been 4.3 million euros higher. There is also another consideration that I believe we need to make, and it is the fact that assuming that the dollar will stay at around 130 by year end, we will record a significant improvement, and if this will continue to stabilize in 2009 as well, we will record a very significant improvement on operating profits, because clearly this will boost our sales on the US market. Just again, as a matter of reference only, the an average level of 1.3 to the euro based on the current results would boost the EBIT of the group by 5 million on a yearly basis. If we now move to the year-to-date performance, so the nine-month results, net revenues for the cumulative September are 176 million, versus previous year is a growth of 16.5%. Again, there is an exchange rate effect of around 3.54% negative. The gross margin has improved by more than 1 percentage point versus the cumulative performance of previous year, moving up from 64.3 to 65.4. Operating expenses record a reduction as a ratio to sales of 2.5 percentage points. And EBIT and EBITDA without the non-recurring, not taking into account the non-recurring items, has grown respectively by 32.5%, moving up 3.5 percentage points as far as EBIT is concerned, and 26%, moving up by 2.5 percentage points as far as EBITDA is concerned. Again, last but not least, net results for the first 9 months have grown by 44% versus previous year, moving from 19.1 to 27 million at the end of September. If we now move to slide 10 and we give a quick glance to our balance sheet, our total capital employed had moved up in the first 9 months of the year by about 35 million euros up to 167 million. The 167 million are financed by 144 million in equity and the net debt of 23.3 million. I remind you that the net debt, which has moved from 12.1 million at the end of 2007 is influenced by an acquisition in the range of 25.5 million euros and a dividend payout in the range of 5.5 million euros. Slide number 11 includes some comments on the cash flow. Operating cash flow in the quarter were about 18 million versus 11.4 million in the quarter, in similar quarter of the previous year. In the first 9 months, we have recorded 32.4 million in operational cash flow before about 10 million euros in capex, which compares with 23.8 million in September 2007 before 11.2 million capex. The net debt, I believe I already commented on, and at the end of the period, we have in our hands and the banks 21.6 million in cash. Last but not least, I take the opportunity to remind you that the next event for the Assoring Group will be on December the 4th and the 5th, where we will visit the Midcap Forum of Exane BNP Paribas in Paris. Having said this, thank you very much for listening. I will now leave the floor to a Q&A session. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Mr. John Wood from Bank of America. Please go ahead, sir.
Great, thanks. This is Brandon actually in for John this morning. Thanks for taking the questions. Could you give us an update on the liaison install base in the U.S., and can you remind us how many liaison assays are currently available in the U.S. and what types of menu expansion milestones you might expect over the next 12 months?
Yes. I'll take the question. When it comes to the U.S., we have close to 200 liaison systems installed. I would say a third of that install base is sitting in three large commercial labs, and the rest is spread over the hospital base and the smaller private lab base. What is pushing the demand of liaisons in the U.S. today is a combination of vitamin D and the infectious disease products that we have available in the U.S. market. Today, we have available, let me say, to the quarter, because we had then approvals in October, we had 13 products approved in the U.S., two of which were vitamin D and PTH, and the rest were all infectious disease. We have submitted with the FDA five products, two of which have been approved in October, and three of which we believe we will get approval by December. We are in the final queue with the FDA reviewing not the technical documentation but the labeling, which is the last procedure before getting to the final approval. So as stated at the beginning of 2008, we are going to have the full infectious disease menu available in the U.S. by December of this year.
Great, thanks. Can you quantify what the interest income and the interest expense was in the period?
Sure. Hold on one second. You mean in the quarter?
Right.
In quarter three, we have recorded. Hold on one second. $1.1 million of net interest payable, which is made up of interest on the debt that we carry and also commission that we pay for factoring operation. The balance of this to the total financial items is, as I described before, exchange rate differences.
Okay. Could you discuss the M&A environment? You know, have you witnessed any changes in the valuations out there? And Should we expect excess capital to be deployed towards debt repayment or perhaps additional tuck-in acquisitions that bolster your menu offering?
I will take the question on the excess capital, and Carlo may comment on the M&A environment. As I stated before, if we have excess capital at the end of the year, we will use it to repay the debt. Okay. As I described before, our policy is to match excess cash and debt in the same currency. And now I'll leave it to Carlo on the M&A environment and evaluation.
Listen, guys, M&A environment is really tough to say. These days there isn't much M&A going on, in my opinion, after the last wave of consolidation with Siemens and everybody else. Now, so it will be a very generic comment when it comes to the environment. I think these days people are trying to understand what happens to the economy rather than M&A. When it comes to the Diasorin situation, we always stated that we have an active program. Clearly, as Andrea said, we have a steady cash generation, and we intend to invest cash in a wise way, as we did with Biotrin, in order to reinforce our technology portfolio and product portfolio. So we continue to look, and whenever we get a chance to do something reasonable, we will try to do so.
Great. And my last question is, what countries are remaining in your distributor base, or which ones do you expect to take direct in 2008 or 2009?
Yes, we have already, in 2008, we stated that Austria and Czech Republic were going to be taken over by early 2009, which it is what we were going to do. So by the end of quarter one, we will have these two companies direct. Canada is the other area where we intend to go direct, starting from the U.S. Canada is a market very similar to the U.S., and vitamin D is also growing very steadily in Canada. And then moving forward, we said that we want to turn China from, which is a very successful country for us, from a model of today where we have an office controlling distribution to a model where we would be selling direct in certain provinces, mainly Beijing and Shanghai. And then the last geography missing for us would be Australia, which is in the plan for 2010.
Great. Thanks so much.
Next question is from Mr. Martin Wales from UBS. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. Starting with your instruments growth in the quarter, 110 instruments for a quarter where in some markets it's pretty quiet, seems very impressive. Something seems unusually good about the quarter. What was it? Hello?
Sorry, Martin.
Did you hear the question?
Not very much, because mine is breaking up. Can you repeat the question?
You had a very strong quarter for instruments, 110 in the quarter.
Yeah.
Which, given that some of your markets tend to be pretty quiet in August, I was just wondering what you put your finger on as driving what appears to be a particularly strong quarter, and does it put upward pressure on your 400 machines for the full year, or do you just think Q4 will be a bit quieter? I think you'd need another 80-odd machines to make the full-year 400 that you've guided to.
No, it was, I think, a good quarter, as stated. I think that U.S., you know, typically August is low in certain geographies, but was up in other geographies, especially in export and the U.S. We believe, though, that in quarter four we will continue to place 100 systems, around 100 systems, to get to the yearly target of over 400, which is, as you know, has been our constant rate pretty much over the last 2-3 years.
So you might do a bit more this year from the sound of things, but you're not suggesting that we're seeing a structural change in increased machine placements?
No, I don't see a structural change. I see a steady 8400 systems going to the market in the different geographies.
Okay. can you update us on where you are with converting the parvovirus assay you acquired with Biotrin to a chemiluminescence assay? I think that was one of your plans on acquisition. And I'm guessing all the revenues that you've got are the ELISA-based tests at the moment.
Yeah, we have initiated the product development activities in Italy. We moved crew from Ireland here to speed up development, and we believe we'll be able to offer this product to the market in quarter three of next year. So I think that there are good bases to have a good product, starting from all the raw material and know-how that the Irish had in Biotrin.
You highlighted that anti-infectives as well as vitamin D is driving your U.S. growth. What anti-infective test do you have on the U.S. marketplace now, and how has that changed this quarter versus previous quarters?
No, it's not changed, meaning that it continues. The infectious disease sales in the U.S. will pretty much more than double compared to last year, driven by the menu we had. I think the good news is that, again, not in the quarter, but in October, we got two more approved and three more in the queue, as I commented before, and we expect to have it approved by December. So we will have all the ammunition for the infectious disease strategy starting from January 2009, which is a very good news.
So if we look at your U.S. growth Q3 this year versus Q3 last year, can you give us a sense of what it looks like, currency versus vitamin D versus the Biotrin test versus anti-infectives and other tests that you sell in the United States?
Listen, Martin, as I stated already in several conference calls, I do not, since I believe vitamin D is becoming for us very strategic market, and there are certain information, especially regarding the U.S. market, which I consider privileged to the company. So I can give you a general comment. I think that today the vitamin D represents a good chunk of the growth in the U.S. market. Currency effect, I think, in the U.S., Andrea commented before, at constant exchange rate, it was 49.6%. That translates into dollars, into euros, into 37%. And when it comes to Biotrin is 9% additional revenues. The parvovirus testing in the U.S. Grows steadily. Low double digit rates. So the rate is around low double digit, but it continues to grow.
That's great. Just one of the things I'm trying to understand is that, yes, vitamin D, as you say, is becoming increasingly strategic, and there's clearly a way to go there. I'm just trying to understand the extent to which you can really capitalize on your instrument situation in the United States by putting more anti-infective tests through. Obviously, you've got two in October, three more in December. I'm just trying to get some sense of how the extent to which you've benefited from that already versus just how much more there is to come from the anti-infectives test in the United States.
Listen, as I told you before, sales of infectious disease double 208 vis-a-vis 207, and we project that they will continue to double also next year. I think that the problem is when we started with infectious disease from zero, pretty much. We had some ELISA sales. Remember, most of our sales in the U.S. were hepatitis and not infectious disease. So the base in infectious disease was small, and so we are building that business. You are comparing then with a vitamin D business that has been there for 25 years. So you already started from a different size. And it's very clear that one is driven by increasing demand, and the other one is driven by the fact that we take market share by competitors. And this explains why, in absolute number, today vitamin D in the U.S. represents a good portion of the increase of the turnover.
Okay. And last question, perhaps one for Andrea. Can you just, I know you said a bit about your debt policy. Can you just talk a bit about where your debt's coming from and how long dated the debt is? obviously people are have some concerns about financing in the current environment. I'm sure it isn't a problem for you, but maybe you can just put people's minds to rest.
I'm sorry, Martin. Did I understand one of the questions?
You
want to know what, where is the debt coming from in the sense of what institution and banks? Or
I want to know what form of debt it takes, when is it repayable, what, you know, are there any covenants associated with it? Clearly it's something that people are focused on at the moment. I don't think there is a problem with you guys, but it would be a good chance to reassure people.
Okay, let me just focus on the most recent debt, which is the vast majority of the debt we carry. We have on the 9th of July, we have financed the group with underwriting a debt of $56 million. This is repayable in 7 years on a 6-month basis. We have every option to repay the debt in anticipation, provided we have excess cash,
which we do
incidentally. And the debt has been used to finance the BioTrain acquisition and to refinance the previously existing debt. Just for your reference, we pay a spread on that debt of 60 basis points. In today's credit environment, I believe this is an outstanding cost.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next question is from Mr. Stefan Sumer from Exane. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. Laura as well. I've got a quick three questions. The first one is on the impact of US dollar on your EBIT. What would have been your EBIT in Q3 restated for the positive contribution of EBIT? My second question is on your indication for the full year. I remind that you have indicated last year that you were expecting a 200 basis point improvement at the operating level, on the top of the 25% reported last year. In view of the good performance achieved in 9 months, it sounds quite conservative, so can we expect you to be a little bit more aggressive today, probably with the positive impact of the USD? And my last question is on CapEx. What will be the total CapEx over 08 and over the next, over 09 and 2010 as well, please?
Okay, Stefan, I'll take the question, it's Andrea. As far as the impact of the US dollar exchange rate at EBIT level, I think I commented during the presentation that a US dollar on average at a parity of 1.3 to the euro would affect positively the EBIT on a full year basis about 5 million more. You can do your math on the three quarters.
Okay. That's if we had 1.3 on average over the full year, I mean over 09, we would have additional 5 million euro at the EBIT level. That's
provided that the company does grow with 0%.
Okay, so I can, to do my math, I have to divide this number, let's say, by 4 to get growth's impact on Q4.
Exactly. Okay, as far as the outlook to the full year, I believe that given the results in quarter three of this year, we can now estimate an EBIT and EBITDA which are in line with the year-to-date September, which means, in other words, that we expect an EBITDA on average around 35%, which is an improvement versus previous year by about 300 basis points.
Okay, and we can do the same at the EBIT level, eh?
And you can do the same at EBIT level. EBIT is 29% cumulative, and I believe this will stay until the end of the year.
Okay. Hello?
What was the question about CapEx?
What would be the amount for CapEx on 08? And the same question on 09 and 2010 as well.
as you know, we do not provide precise outlooks on budget items, although you may remember that we have a fairly constant amount of CapEx, around 14-15 million per year between tangible and intangibles.
Okay. This is excluding instruments, huh?
No, this is including instruments.
Including instruments, okay. And just to come back on your answer on the profitability, you mentioned that we have a 35% EBITDA over 9 months.
Yeah.
And we will have the same over the full year. Huh? That's what you said.
That's what I said.
Okay. And what about next year? I'm just trying to see what.
I understand you always try to sneak this through, but we are not commenting on 2009, please.
Not yet.
No, not yet, and not for the reasonable future. As we stated before, we gave an indication in the past, and I believe that you can follow the trend of the company and make an educated guess on what the margin improvement will be. Clearly, you need to sterilize it on the dollar effect.
Yes.
Because we have a very strong U.S. business that is growing significantly year on year.
Okay. And I've got a question about your U.S. business. Which kind of clients is growing faster? Is it large labs or hospitals? Or I mean, is your sales with Kestrel Cardinals are doing better than your direct sales? Or?
No. I think that this is not driven by customer, it's driven by menu. And therefore, we experience, when it comes to vitamin D, the growth of demand is across all the accounts. As I already explained in one conference call, although lots of vitamin D testing in the U.S. is consolidated in 2-3 very large laboratories.
Okay.
Although when you look at vitamin D testing throughout the labs that are doing it, you see the same increase because the demand is increasing vis-a-vis the number of prescriptions coming from the physicians.
Okay. And my last question is regarding the new platform that is Liaison XL.
Mm-hmm.
XL, yeah, which is likely to be launched next year, in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still on schedule on this program, or are you happy with the recent development, or what comment we can have on this, and any specific cost to expect, additional cost expected for the marketing of this new platform, or any kind of wait and see attitude from clients expecting the new platform to be launched?
Well, first, as we already reminded in several conference calls, we do not disclose to the market the same level of information we disclose to the financial community.
Yeah.
So it looks like a paradox, but if you would interview a customer of Diasorin today, they wouldn't know much about the XL.
Okay.
For a very simple reason, the Liaison is going so well that we don't want to throw ice water on the market. We are going to introduce the Liaison XL to the market next year, and we are in line with our expectations.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, and see you in Paris.
Yeah.
Next question is from Mr. Massimo Vecchio from Mediobanca. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon to everybody. I have three quick questions. The first one is on vitamin D. It should be a public information that Abbott is going to launch an assay in 2009. Do you consider that a threat? And do you incorporate that in your 2009 expectation on vitamin D? Second question is on, again, vitamin D. Just probably already said that, but does it run only on Liaison, or you have it on other technologies? And the third question, if you can give us a broad view of how your infectious disease business compares US versus Europe. How will you assess that? Thank you.
Okay. I will give you two very quick answers and an elaborated one for the last one. Listen, competition is there. I don't know whether Abbott is or is not going to be in the market. Today, Roche is on the market and we're not suffering. So we continue to do our business as before without worrying too much who is coming, who is not coming. The second, your second question was vitamin D by technology. We do have also vitamin D in RIA format. We don't have it in ELISA. When it comes to your third question, I keep saying that if you look at the Diasorin as a group today, we are an infectious disease company. Over 50% of our turnover is infectious disease. And vitamin D is carrying weight in certain geographies, mainly in the U.S. and Australia. In the U.S., we were perceived as an infectious disease company because we were the only company with Abbott Diagnostics having the full hepatitis line approved with the FDA. Over time, more competitors appeared, and in the last few years, vitamin D took the lion's share of the market when it came to our market opportunity. Although since we are, again, we have a long tradition of being an infectious disease company, and we believe there is a strong opportunity in the U.S. market for infectious disease, driven by the fact that the know-how of the U.S. market in this field is very limited. bioMérieux had a successful strategy in the U.S. with infectious disease, and today they have a reasonable installed base of Vidas, which are growing old as everywhere else in the world, so they would be a very interesting base, installed base to tackle for us. DPC had launched an infectious disease, which now is a line which has been made available to the U.S. and is completely neglected by Siemens. So all in all, we believe that in the U.S. there is a great infectious disease opportunity for a company that has infectious disease in its genes. No, and I believe that the infectious disease will, does already today, and will contribute to the growth of our U.S. Sales even more than what it is doing today.
Thank you very much.
We have a follow-up question from Mr. Martin Wales from UBS. Please go ahead, sir.
Sorry, one slight clarification on the non-cash impact of the euro-dollar exchange rate. Am I right in thinking that in Q4 you will take a similar hit to Q3 if exchange rates at the end of the year where they are today?
That is correct. Assuming that the by the end of the year the dollar will be around 130-ish, the Q4 will have the similar impact as Q3 had.
But going into 2009, a flat dollar-euro exchange rate at that point doesn't impact this non-cash, and of course you should benefit substantially transactionally as you've highlighted already.
Absolutely.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Rosa, there are no more questions at this time.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.